Okay, this is Tuesday, March the 28th, and I'm going to...
I saw Professor Fu taking the attendance. I always hated doing that. I still occasionally teach regular classes and take attendance, and I have a terrible sieve-like memory, and I have to puzzle over names every time, and sometimes I'm just sure I insult people trying to remember their names, but I never had to face one like a friend of mine did at Bergen Community, where first day of class is going over the names, trying to figure out how to say them so as not to offend the people they belong to. And he comes up to one where the woman's name's like Gloria, N-A-Z-I. And he says, Gloria Nazi? No, that's Nazi. Well, you never know, I guess. In the same way, I hope you won't be offended by anything I say. But I thought I'd get into a little bit of the methodological background of this. If you're like me this early, the word methodological probably has too many syllables to register, but we'll see what we can do anyhow. Why would you read the Gospels, which seem fairly straightforward narratives, and come up with the kind of wacky stuff I do in this book? And that's kind of the gap I thought I'd see about jumping this morning. And there are a couple of questions that always seem to come up that are very important ones. Aren't the Gospels eyewitness narratives? I mean, aren't they pretty much blow-by-blow accounts of what Jesus of Nazareth said and did? And if that's the case, you know, what room is there for this kind of wild, harebrained speculation? Well, that is the traditional view of the Gospels, but most scholars today think it's not so. Now, what most scholars think doesn't make any difference, really. If you're interested in the issues, you have to look into them yourself. You can't just assume a nose count settles anything, right? But there are good reasons for doubting this. For instance, the fact that the gospel writers seem to use each other. It kind of looks like the Gospel of Mark was the first one, and that Matthew and Luke both used it. And there's a huge debate, but it looks kind of like the Gospel of John used at least one or two of the others. There are alternate theories that maybe Matthew rewrote Luke, or Luke rewrote Matthew, and that Mark then kind of combined the two of those, cutting out the stuff that was so different between them that he didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know which to pick. But whichever of those theories you do choose, they all assume that the gospel writers use one another's documents. And the reason for that is the word between the first three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are so close in so many places that it's just pretty much out of the question to imagine that they're all independent, spontaneous accounts by people that were there. The wording is just too close for that, and can only be explained by somebody copying somebody else's work, something that was certainly ethical to do at the time. Today, you get called a plagiarist because we have a thing called copyright, but you didn't in the ancient world. The author didn't own the text. In fact, people often didn't even know who the author was. My point in all of this is to say that if the gospel writers are reduced to using other documents, then they can hardly have been eyewitnesses, at least most of them, right? Because if you were there, if you were in the boat when Jesus stilled the storm, if you were there when he multiplied the loaves and fishes, you wouldn't have to borrow some other guy's account of it. And there are loads of instances like that where if you had simply been on hand, not only would you not have to use somebody else's account, but it would sound a good bit different than it does. Most of the stuff we have sounds like it's the gist of something else. In fact, Mark, the earliest gospel, sounds to me like it's an epitome, a shortened, abridged version of some other document we don't have. But it sure doesn't sound like for instance, the table talk of Martin Luther, if you've ever heard of that, or various figures, people that knew them. I read a book by Alfred North Whitehead, actually by another guy, Lucian Price, who was a buddy of his, called The Dialogues of Whitehead, which you can actually understand, unlike books written by Whitehead, which are impossible for anyone to understand. But the fact that his friend just wrote down the stuff he used to say, that has a certain eyewitness ring to it that you just don't find in the Gospels. They sound like another kind of thing. So there's no real reason to believe eyewitnesses wrote them. We don't even know who wrote them. The names that appear on the Gospels were only added probably in the second century sometime, once people assembled collections of Gospels. It was only once you had three or four of them together in a church that somebody would stand up and say, a reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Up to that time, you had just said the Gospel, and so it's not clear anyone would even have had a name on it. Unlike, for instance, if you flip over a few pages in your New Testament, you come up with the epistles or the letters of Paul. They have names on them. Letters have always had names, for obvious reasons. But the Gospels didn't until editors much later in the day stuck them on, and we don't know where they got them. And a couple of the names happen to also be names of characters who are made disciples of Jesus in the books, Matthew and John. But Mark and Luke are never given as names of anybody that Jesus had anything to do with. So we don't even know who they're supposed to be. And plus the fact that all four of them are very common names. Mark and Luke are the two most common male names in the Roman civilization. So a little tough to narrow it down. So who wrote them? We don't know. When were they written? Hard to say, but there are various hints in there that kind of imply they couldn't have been written earlier than 70 CE or AD. Take your pick. You know the whole thing, right? You say BC before Christ, but now so as not to draft people into Christianity without their consent, we have them say BCE before the Common Era, right? Instead of AD, usually now people say CE, the Common Era of Christianity and Judaism. Well, the Gospels couldn't really have been written before 70 CE because they talk about the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, which happened then. And then the question is, well, what's the latest they could have been written? And we can only be sure we have mentions of our four books by somebody who's referring to the same writings, with St. Irenaeus writing around 175 to 180 CE. There are a couple of mentions before, but we're not really sure they're talking about our books. There were various Gospels with the same names even. But the first one we know means our Gospels is Irenaeus, and it's something like 180 CE, so the Gospels could have been written pretty much anywhere in between. A lot of water can go under the bridge by then. It may be that there was a historical Jesus, and that he said things and did things in the company of people that traveled around with him, but whether or not that material appears in the Gospels is the big question. It's certainly not unreasonable that there was a historical Jesus who did a lot of stuff and taught a lot of stuff, whether miraculous or not, I want to get to that in a second, but that much is not unreasonable. I mean, you know, there was a Socrates and he went around doing and saying important stuff, and people that saw him wrote down some of it, but even there, it's difficult to know what the figure actually said and what has been attributed to him. Did Socrates really say all the abstruse stuff that Plato says that he said? Or was he as bucolic a yarn spinner as Xenophon makes him? Hard to say. But at any rate, even if you knew you had eyewitness transcripts of what Jesus said or did, which we don't know, right? Even then, it would be difficult. People studying eyewitness testimony in these days, for legal reasons, among others, have concluded that eyewitness testimony, especially in the case of remarkable events, is the least reliable. I don't know, you know, what other kind of testimony you can compare it to, but the idea is if a bunch of people, in fact, they inflict this on unsuspecting college students all the time. They'll have a phony interruption of the class and have some guy dressed in a clown suit or whatever come in and jump out the window or something, and it just happens all of a sudden, nobody's expecting it, and then they ask everybody to write down what they saw, and you get amazingly different accounts of what the room full of people just saw and heard. The least the more abnormal the event was, the harder it was for people to place it, to tag it, to describe it, and so you have all sorts of wild variants. So even if we knew we had eyewitness reporting of, especially of supposed miracles, because that's really where the action is, right? That's what people who argue the Gospels were written by eyewitnesses are concerned with. They want to say we have good testimony to astonishing events having occurred. Well, we couldn't necessarily rely on it, but we don't know who wrote them, we don't know where they came from, and so we're reduced, and there isn't really anything about Jesus that we can rely on in any text outside the New Testament. The only possibility being the Roman Jewish historian Josephus, who started writing around the end of the first century. There we have the old Mark Furman problem. If this guy had mentioned Jesus, as it appears that he did, when you read the manuscripts of Josephus's histories, then you'd say, okay, that's a pretty good thumb on the scale to balance the thing in favor of there being some kind of historical Jesus figure. But the problem, it's just like with O.J. Simpson, sure looks like the bastard killed his wife, right? I mean, the evidence sure implies he sawed her head off, but you can't quite be sure because of that stupid ass Furman who decided to make the certain even more certain by planting phony evidence. Thanks a lot, pal. He ruined the whole thing. So same thing in the case of Josephus. Christians got a hold of the manuscripts. They were the only ones who did save manuscripts of this guy, and they kept fiddling with them. We have copies of Josephus in three different languages, and the Jesus part varies wildly depending on which one you read. And so who knows what, if anything, the guy said about Jesus. I mean, if those Christian Mark Furmans hadn't ever started trying to improve on whatever they had, we might have some evidence, but there's no way to know. So unfortunately, kind of agnostic, we have to be agnostic about that.